Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Urban planning standpoint is really a blank slate. And you kind of start thinking, well, how come this city isn't one of the best cities in Los Angeles County?
Mayor Asia Brown talks about the potential of Compton and how she will achieve her vision. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 17th, 2013. I'm Ryan Bouzion. People, the Panda Cam is back online. Quick round of applause, Panda Cam. Federal workers are back on the job after Congress approved a bill to end the government shutdown. For over 2 weeks, government offices and services were closed, but now the National Zoo, federal buildings, and national parks are open again. But there's still a lot of work to be done before things are back to normal. Grace Slim reports on government workers around Southern California who are getting back into the swing of things.
Want to avoid long lines at the passport office? These first few days after the government shutdown might be a good time to go. Joanna Jose was at the Wilshire Federal Building to apply for a passport for her one-month-old son, Joaquin, this morning.
There's not too many people in there today. There's only about less than 15 people. Yeah, there's no line, so our schedule is at 11, but we got there 10 to 15 minutes earlier, and yeah, by before 11, we're done, so it's pretty fast.
Things at the passport office might be slow, but businesses nearby are looking forward to things picking up. Every day, workers from the Wilshire Federal Building trickle out to the restaurants and cafes in Westwood for lunch. La Monica's New York Pizza on Gailey Avenue is a favorite. And how do government employees like their pizza?
Simple cheese pepperoni.
Cesar Medina is the manager of La Monica's. He says the government shutdown made the store lose about 200 pizzas worth of business each week. But now that the workers are back, he hopes business will get back to normal. Employees are also returning to national parks across the country. 130 miles outside of Los Angeles, Joshua Tree National Park has 92 personnel coming back to catch up on backlogged work.
So we're talking about all of the people in the maintenance who maintain the roads, the trail crews, the campgrounds, the facilities, the building, the cleaning of the buildings.
And on goes the list. Lorna Schumann works for the park, and she says the workers will be very busy making up for the last 2 weeks.
Any of the schools that called for education programs, either as a field trip or coming to the park on their own or having a ranger come to the classroom, those were all put on hold.
So for the time being, National Park employees will be busy rescheduling visits and reimbursing camp reservations. They won't be able to make up for 2 weeks of lost business. But like passport applicants and pizza guys, National Park workers hope things will go back to normal soon. Grace Lim, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles is always preparing for the next big earthquake. Today, over 3 million people in L.A. County participated in the Great California Shakeout, a statewide presentation on earthquake safety and preparedness. Balu Tianci visited Rosemont Elementary to find out more.
It's like a scene from a blockbuster thriller as books and furniture fly across the room. Firefighters rush to the scene. Students and faculty at Rosemont Elementary School rush out. Teaching assistant Mercedes Chavaria's forehead is covered in blood as she sits waiting with the injured students.
We're thinking we are preparing for these things, but nobody is preparing for when this thing happens.
This isn't your typical drill. And although Chavaria and the students' injuries are fake, they are also a glimpse of what could become reality. Mark Benithian is an official with the Shakeout.
Everybody needs to know what to do to protect themselves when an earthquake happens, because this is earthquake country. We will have earthquakes. It could happen today.
LA City Councilman Tom Labonge believes there are things the city can work on before the next big one hits.
Preparedness is so important. Every community meeting that I open up, I always look at the whole room and say, earthquake, preparedness, be involved.
And that preparation needs to happen soon. According to seismologist Lucy Jones, that big one could happen in less than 20 years. Balu Tianci, Annenberg Radio News.
practical joke will have serious implications for a 28-year-old airport ramp supervisor. DeCarlo Bennett was charged today in connection with two dry ice bombs that exploded at LAX earlier this week. He pled not guilty on two counts of possession of a destructive device in a public place. He faces a maximum of 6 years in jail. The judge ordered him held on $1 million bail. DeCarlo will be back in court next week for a bail hearing. There's a new hotline for homeowners at risk of foreclosure. The hotline is operated by counselors from the California Consumer Justice Coalition. Homeowners can call the number and get help with legal tips to avoid foreclosure. At a news conference today at a South LA home, Mayor Eric Garcetti also warned homeowners about scam artists that target homeowners in danger of losing their homes.
The first thing I want to say is if you're in trouble, get help now. Do not wait, because the time is not on your side, and the longer that you wait, the closer you get to losing your home.
You can take advantage of the legal help if you applied for a loan modification but the foreclosure is still going ahead, if you were denied a loan modification and never told why, or if you cannot get your lender on the phone. The hotline number is 877-881-0878. The business climate in South Los Angeles is changing. A microfinance company today released its first annual economic development forecast and its new name. The company is feeling positive about the city, especially if businesses here can become more innovative. Stephanie Monti reports.
4C Hogan Rolls is the CEO of the company formerly known as Community Financial Resource Center. Its new name is Rise. She has a new vision for South Los Angeles' economy. Less fast food stores and more small, innovative retailers generating better paying jobs and more income for the city. The organization celebrated their name change today and issued their first annual economic forecast. No question the city faces challenges. There's minimal job growth, low wages, and the low rate of students graduating from high school. It also has an unemployment rate double the national average. All this has made South LA one of the poorest areas in the county.
We have the highest unemployment in the city right here in South LA, and so we want to make sure that we make an imprint and we do something about it. So our goal is to figure out how do we work with existing corporations and potentially new corporations that would set up their businesses here in South LA.
Rise teaches business owners how to go about getting financing and how to improve their credit profile to make them more attractive to lenders. Michael Costa, chairman of the board of Rise, explains what the nonprofit continues to do as they enter their 20th year of service.
We raise funds from those larger banks, and on their behalf, we look for those opportunities to lend to these new businesses in LA, especially the inner city.
South LA is home to a combination of retailers, industrial, manufacturing, and commercial businesses. Over the past two decades, the organization has served more than 105,000 low to moderate income clients. Food emporiums have thrived in the area, but council member Curran Price says it's time to build on that success, branching out into retail and manufacturing.
So supporting organizations like Rise gives the community a unique way to build stability and create income opportunities for the residents and for the community at large.
Small business breeds innovation, productivity, and has made Southern California one of the largest economies in the world. Stephanie Monti, Annenberg Radio News.
We're looking at some warm days this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow and Saturday, we'll have highs in the mid-80s with a light breeze, but evening temperatures will dip around 60 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we get a lesson on the proper use of American slang. Sports programs are on the slide in many schools around the country. That was the chief concern today at the annual summit of the LA 84 Foundation, which promotes sports for children. As Danielle Tarasuk reports, experts there are not just worried about the health implications of that trend.
According to new research, running, jumping, and playing in the schoolyard is not just a great way for children to build social skills and ward off obesity. It also enhances academic performance. One study from the American College of Sports Medicine looked at a group of 317 6th to 8th graders. They found that the students who were more physically fit scored 30% higher on standardized exams than the least fit group of kids. Anita de France is the president of LA84, a foundation that serves youth through sports. She was not surprised by the researchers' findings.
Education and sports go well together, and in fact, the young people who take part in sports are likely to do better in school. And in part, it's because they know, in some cases, they know they have to keep their grades up to be able to stay in on the sports team. In other cases, they're simply better organized.
Scott Blackman, the CEO of the U.S. Olympics Committee, spoke from personal experience at LA84's annual summit Thursday morning.
So many parents believe that sports is not something that makes their kids' academics better, when in fact it does. We're losing some athletes because parents want them focused more on their academics.
When asked about the kids who felt isolated from their peers and not welcome in school athletics, Blackman said that it was a real concern. So
I think it is critically important that we look at inclusion and involvement. The question is, how do you do that?
Blackman also said that investing more in PE classes for young children is one way to help. But not everyone thinks that sports in schools is the country's solution to poor academics. According to the Council on Foreign Relations, the United States has slipped by 10 spots in both high school and college global rankings. Amanda Ripley is the author of The Smartest Kids in the World and How They Got That Way. In an article earlier this month that Ripley wrote for The Atlantic, she says that the United States' emphasis on sports and schools is actually hurting the quality of academics. Schools spend significantly more on their athletic programs than, for instance, their math programs. Danielle Cherisuk, Annenberg Radio News.
And now for my favorite segment, sports news. The Dodgers World Series hopes are still alive as they beat the Cards in Game 5 of the NLCS yesterday. St. Louis now leads the series 3-2. Game 6 is Friday, 5:30 on TBS as Clayton Kershaw takes the hill for LA. Game 5 of the ALCS is tonight at 5 on Fox. The Red Sox and Tigers are knotted up at 2 games apiece. You don't want to miss that. The annual battle for the jeweled shillelagh is this weekend as SC travels to South Bend to face Notre Dame. You can catch that on Saturday at 4:30 on NBC. Go Trojans. And lastly, on Sunday night, Peyton Manning returns to Indianapolis to face his former team. The Broncos will look to stay undefeated against Andrew Luck and the division-leading Colts. 5:30 on NBC. Should be a good one. Dorsey High School football coach Paul Knox has been a mainstay at the South LA school since 1985. His teams have produced some 20 NFL players, which is among the highest rates of success in the nation. Law Murray visits Coach Knox and his team at practice.
Jones with the carry.
It's exciting that we've had that kind of talent come through our program. That has been able to come through here, use this as a stepping stone to go to college. And then some have been fortunate enough to go play in the NFL. And it's satisfying that, you know, we were able to help, you know, start some of these guys off in their career. It's also satisfying, you know, just for other guys that you see are successful in the community as well, that have come through your program and have used football as a way maybe to get an education or also get some job and be a contributor in our community. So, you know, having those guys in the NFL is great, and it's a great tribute to the talent that we've had. But we've had just great young men be able to come through here and be outstanding members of the community.
On Saturday, October 26th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Times are tough. Some of us are looking for work.
This team here, I think, is going to be, they're going to play hard, but I think we expect that from all our teams. I think, you know, we've got a higher ceiling to reach than previous before because of our inexperience, I think we have a lot of room to grow. And, you know, hopefully if we can take those steps along the way and get better each week, you know, this team has the potential of being a really, really special team.
Two Latino gang members pled guilty today to federal hate crime charges. Jeffrey Aguilar and Efren Marquez are charged with murdering a black teenager in Compton on New Year's Eve. Prosecutors say the two men chased the victim to his girlfriend's house, where the showdown ended with Aguilar and Marquez beating the victim to death and threatening another at gunpoint. The trial documents yet another race-related crime in Compton where tensions between Latinos and blacks run high. Newly elected Compton Mayor Asia Brown believes the trend can be reversed. Mayor Brown has been getting some high-profile media attention lately in her attempts to turn Compton around. Today, she spoke with students at USC's Price School of Public Policy. As Matthew Tinoco reports, the mayor offered words of advice to future civic-minded leaders.
Compton's first female mayor, Asia Brown, is on fire. Since winning the Compton mayoral race in early June, Brown has been profiled by numerous media outlets around the country, even Vogue magazine. All of these profiles point to one undeniable fact. Asia Brown is something different. She's a super accomplished 31-year-old woman standing out among the older men that make up most of Compton City Hall.
I had no intention of running for office until I worked there for a couple of years, and I said, you know, it doesn't matter how many great programs you do at the staff level, you really need a change in leadership.
Brown is a planner. She earned both undergraduate and master's degrees in urban planning and economic development from USC while on full scholarship. After graduating, she worked on development around Southern California, including a high-profile position on the Pasadena Planning Commission. Now she's turned her attention to Compton, a city trying very hard to rid its image of a gangster's paradise.
Our goal is to be able to really put a new face, a new voice of Compton, of just being, you know, a normal community of, you know, people that are upstanding citizens. We have great people that come out of Compton and not just in the entertainment industry. And so we're really highlighting those particular people and really bringing them back for positive initiatives.
Brown comes to the city with high hopes for Compton's future. She's charging headfirst into her new, technically part-time position. In her short time since becoming mayor in June, Brown has received tremendous amount of support both inside and outside the community. Working with nonprofits, Brown is spearheading the creation of programs like We Run Compton, a partnership between the city and Nike to promote healthy living, and Project Restoration, an organization seeking to help ex-prisoners reintegrate into society after being released. This isn't to say that Brown won't be met with challenges like violence, corruption, and racial tension. Compton is 60% Latino and 40% Black, but Brown doesn't see her city as one divided by race.
We don't have a lot of racial tension that people would think that we would have. We all live in the same city. We want the same things. We're concerned about the same issues. We want good education. We want healthy food. We want safe streets. We want, you know, trim trees and paved streets. And so we all want the same things.
Brown is confident in her ability to help Compton turn into a dynamic city. And if the outpouring of community support in her favor is any indication, it's an indication that the people of Compton agree with her. Matthew Tinoco, Annenberg Radio News.
Air quality is undoubtedly a serious problem in Los Angeles. Earlier, I spoke with Annenberg Radio News reporter Emmanuel Martinez about oil fumes in a South LA neighborhood that residents say are making them sick. Last night, Emmanuel, you went to a town hall meeting coordinated by the Air Quality Management District that discussed specific problems in this neighborhood. Can you elaborate?
Yeah. Last night, the Air Quality Management District held a town hall meeting in regards to the air quality, but specific to Figueroa and 23rd Street, where the Elenco oil well is located, because residents have been complaining about the smell and just some of the symptoms that they've been experiencing for the last 3 years. Some of the symptoms residents have complained about include nosebleeds, headaches, fatigue, dizziness, confusion, asthma attacks, adult-set asthma. A lot of these residents are adults, and they've never had problems with asthma until the odor came. I guess the odor and the symptoms doesn't discriminate. Kids, adults have been complaining. And it kind of affects, it's, the oil well is in an area where it affects, where it's near schools, churches, low-income housing, and it's only a mile and a half away from USC. So there's a lot of USC students living in the area, too.
What's the main question that needs to be addressed?
Well, I guess the main problem is between Alenka oil well and the residents, and where AQMD stands is just proving that the odor is connected to the symptoms, whether it's the symptoms are correlated to the smell or whether the symptoms are caused by the smell. Barry Wallerstein, the executive officer of AQMD, who was there last night, he said this.
When some of the community members spoke about having asthma, there are many triggers to asthma attacks. Air pollution can be a trigger, but there are also a number of other triggers, and that's why it requires a medical evaluation to try and get to a better understanding of why an individual may have had an asthma attack. And the same is true for some of the other health impacts or health problems that the community members are experiencing.
How do residents of the neighborhood surrounding 23rd and Fig feel about what Mr. Wallerstein said there?
Well, I spoke to Nancy Halpern Ibrahim from Esperanza Community Housing Corporation, and she feels that the burden of proof doesn't fall on community residents.
Burden of our proving that this is not being caused by that, that's all backwards. If it is safe, the burden of proving the safety should be on the oil company. Our bodies are telling us that it isn't. Our children are telling us that it isn't. And the burden of science shouldn't be on normal working folks.
So going forward, what is the next step? How do we fix this problem?
Well, in order to prove whether it's causation and not correlation, AQMD needs to gather more research and data. And they're doing that now. And so they're going to come back in December and hold another town hall meeting to share what they've found and what they've gathered and to be able to tell the residents what is in the air and what they're actually breathing.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me. I've been here with Emmanuel Martinez, a reporter for Annenberg Radio News. Thank you. To those learning English as a second language, many expressions are surely met with puzzled looks. Today, American idiom instructor David Burke hosted a seminar to teach international students at UCLA how to break down American slang. You know what I mean? Julian De Ocampo has the word.
Dude, I'm literally so psyched right now. I'm freaking out. When most people think of slang, they think of the phrases youth use that quickly go in and out of style. But to American idiom expert David Burke, some expressions are timeless.
The truth is, who knows, groovy came back for a while. It came in, came out. So it's like clothing. It comes into fashion, goes out of fashion. But some clothing, like the button-down shirt, the tie, will always be there.
Burke, an instructor at UCLA's American Language Center, has spent years instructing second language learners in the expressions professors don't teach you in class. Part of the process is to break down the stiffness that many formerly taught English speakers arrive with.
It's the one thing that keeps every foreign student, every foreign visitor on the outside, looking in. They don't learn things like, yeah, uh-huh. They learn yes and no, not yep, uh-huh, nah, uh-uh. They don't learn that stuff.
Burke has published countless books on cultural idioms, lectured at universities, and stars in his own international children's television show. Burke mainly instructs on idioms he feels will never go out of style, terms like what's up, that's cool, or come on.
I told my mom, I've got an idea. I'm going to write books on American slang. And she said, David, we don't use slang. Come on. I said, come on, that's fine. And she goes, no way. Mom, that's fine. And she says, oh, come on, knock it off. Fine. So she goes, you know what, good point, we do use a lot of slang.
But Burke also understands that slang is a tricky thing to master for the uninitiated. Some cultures, for example, have little understanding of sarcasm. Burke hopes to create an environment where English learners can practice their slang without the social fears of embarrassing themselves. And for those struggling with speaking English in social situations, what he's doing is pretty cool, dude.
The movie 12 Years a Slave premieres in theaters tomorrow, and reporter Amen Oyobike has the story.
Went down to the river.
Slavery is one of the most horrific and sensitive topics in American history. Everyone learns about it in school, but we rarely talk about it. 12 Years a Slave opens up the subject of the harsh realities slaves faced over 150 years ago. This may be the one movie that changes the portrayal of slavery in American cinema. The film is directed by Steve McQueen. The cast includes Chiwetel Ejiofor, Michael Fassbender, Alfre Woodward, and Brad Pitt. It's based on the memoir of Solomon Northup, a free African-American man kidnapped in 1841 from Washington and sold into slavery in New Orleans.
I was born a free man, lived with my family in New York.
Be good for your mother.
Until the day I was deceived.
To Solomon.
Kidnapped, sold into slavery.
Filled with incomprehensible racism and crude brutality, 12 Years a Slave sheds light on the deep realities of slave treatment and the misuse of religion towards slaves.
And that servant
that don't obey his lord
shall be beaten with many stripes.
That's scripture.
Slashed with whips and chains, this movie was an eye-opener for me. The movie is hard-hitting and can make anyone want to reevaluate the mindsets of American forefathers. Ejiofor's performance of Solomon works on the emotional struggle of a husband and father fighting to regain his freedom.
I will survive! I will not fall into despair! I will keep myself hardy till freedom is opportune!
His performance gives you something to cling on to throughout the unbearable circumstances. People should watch this movie to really learn about the history of this country. 12 Years a Slave is the reflection of the evil and hurt that seeped into the souls of men and women who had no way out. Amen, Oyeboke. Annenberg Radio News.
That one looks really good, 12 Years a Slave. Make sure you check it out. It's a big day for Microsoft users. The company released Windows 8.1 today. Microsoft hoped to iron out some of the wrinkles in their operating system. Among the changes, the Start button will return to the taskbar, and users will be able to resize tile windows more freely than before. Windows 8.1 has a tablet-like layout that may have something to do with the fact that desktop computer sales have been declining, while sales of mobile devices have been on the rise. And now we're going to check in with James Santelli to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing quite well. And tonight on ATVN at 6, I talked to two recent USC alums who are launching a new messaging app. Find out how it's different from the Snapchats and the Instagrams. Also, drivers beware. There will be a new DUI checkpoint on Figueroa Street. We'll tell you where you should look out. And we'll be previewing the USC-Notre Dame game, including new sound from head coach Ed Orgeron. We got all that and more coming up at 6 on Trojan Vision. It's Annenberg TV News.
Thank you, James. It is high time that people found out new ways to calculate contributions to groups they support. In Colorado, the advocacy group No Overtaxation counted $1,250 worth of joints as a contribution. The marijuana was given away at rallies protesting a proposed 25% tax on retail marijuana. Okay, my friends, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Allison Brett, Katie Davis, Logan Healy, the great Victor Figueroa was on the boards. Graham Clark produces our arts and culture segment, and the newscast producer is the one and only Jerome Campbell. Our executive producer is Catherine Davis, and for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Ryan Bouzion. Stay classy, Los Angeles, and let's keep the post-Lane Kiffin era undefeated.